This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
Good evening. They are certainly frustrating. Extra fees tacked on when you buy a concert ticket or book a hotel room. Well, starting next week, those so-called junk fees will no longer be legal in California. And that's good news for us. But restaurants have been sounding the alarm, saying the new law could force them to raise their prices. But as Kenny Choi reports, there could be an 11th hour exemption.
At Tacolicious in San Francisco, a cook sears a Neiman Ranch local grass-fed skirt steak to make a carne asada taco.
The thought of raising the prices more, it just keeps me up at night.
Joe Hargrave founded his small business 14 years ago when he charged $3.50 for a premium taco. Now it's $7.50 and likely to change soon.
We're, I think, in the restaurant sector just very afraid of what that sticker shock is going to look like.
Hargrave is in the process of reprinting menus and determining how much more to charge if service fees like the 6% surcharge, which helps him pay for San Francisco's mandate to cover workers' health insurance, get eliminated.
They say, well, just put it in the bill. But it's not that simple. We're not being greedy business people. We're trying to find the right solution without jeopardizing our customer base.
Reining in hidden fees charged by banks, airlines, hotels, and other sectors has grown into a national movement, with 11 other states trying to ban junk fees. Recent polls show an overwhelming majority of consumers support these efforts.
I would love to be able to walk into a store or a restaurant, anything, order the price on the menu and pay that price when I get up to the cash register. That would be just make all our lives easier.
Any sort of hidden fee is kind of annoying. Obviously, it's nice to be upfront about what the actual cost of something is.
A drop in patrons wary of the increasing cost to dine out would impact not only the operator's bottom line, but also cooks, bussers, and servers like Sammy Garcia.
I'm a student, so I really rely on my tips.
State lawmakers are scrambling to pass an amendment that would exempt restaurants from the junk fee law about to take effect and essentially force eateries to increase menu prices across the board.
You take that away, it's a gut punch to restaurants. And what California is dealing with, and we've seen it across the board, so many closures. This just puts more and more pressure in a $20 minimum wage environment.
Dan Ives is managing director at Wedbush Securities.
If you look at the junk fees, restaurants is one that really should be excluded, but hotels and others, there's always bad apples that ruin it, but that's really what they're going after.
The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics show the consumer price index for food purchased at restaurants was up 4% in May from 2023, while food at grocery stores was up 1%. It's partly why Hargrave is in a balancing act.
It's a strange little tug of war that we're in right now, and I just want hopefully that everybody has an empathetic approach to what we're doing, what we're about to endure.
He's hoping restaurants will soon be exempt, and the price on menus in the meantime won't scare customers away.
So the changes to the bill would allow restaurants to continue to charge extra fees as long as they disclose them on their menu or their website. The bill has passed the assembly. The Senate still needs to sign off before the bill heads to the governor's desk. All right, more so-called entertainment zones could be coming to San Francisco city streets. Earlier this year, city officials approved the first entertainment zone on a stretch of Front Street downtown. Now the city has approved expanding the pilot program. Within the zones, restaurants and bars will be allowed to sell alcohol during outdoor events. A new staffing shakeup for Oakland Mayor Sheng Tao. And today, Francis Zamora, the mayor's chief of communications, stepped down, and he did not give a reason. The announcement comes on the heels of the mayor's first public comments about last week's FBI raid on her home. She has denied any wrongdoing. So this is just the latest in a series of challenges that Oakland mayor has had to deal with during her 18-month tenure, and there are more to come. So Ann Makovic joining me now in studio with more on what's ahead for the city and for the mayor.
Yeah, in the short term right now, the city council is trying to fill a $117 million budget hole. The mayor releasing a new statement this afternoon, reiterating what she said yesterday, that despite the distractions, she's on top of city business, saying in part, "I will remain focused on supporting the city council this week as they vote to pass a balanced budget. We will complete the transaction for the sale of the Coliseum property to the African American Sports Entertainment Group, which would help shore up that budget." And she says, "We will continue to address crime head on." Well, we heard today from political strategy and public affairs expert Jim Ross, who says that the crisis that Mayor Sheng Tao and the city of Oakland is facing isn't really the investigation that came to the mayor's home. It was the compounding of many different crises, from crime and upheaval at the police department to the hacking of the city's IT to the loss of the Oakland A's.
If this was a normal course of events, this would be a one-day story, two-day story. But because of, I think, the challenges that Oakland's faced over the last year and a half, and the fact that there's a recall election in November, this one event becomes much more significant.
In the meantime, those budget negotiations at City Hall are significant. There are several measures on the agenda for this coming Friday, including the possibility of declaring the existence of a severe and unanticipated financial event. That's the wording on the agenda.
Okay.
Measures like that could allow them to make major cuts to things like park maintenance and also remain the below minimum staffing level for police officers on the street, which I know a lot of people who live in Oakland are not happy about.
Yeah, safety is number one. Yeah. You know, there's so many things we don't know, and the FBI still has to release information why they were there in the first place. So we're all trying to guess, okay, well, what does it mean when someone steps down? What does it mean when her lawyer quits or withdraws, you know? And so we're all trying to look between the lines, and we just have to wait for the real information to surface.
As she continues to fight all of this, of course, the recall election is going on. That's only going to ramp up in the coming months. So
it's a full
we'll be
plate.
Following it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anne, thank you. Okay, starting today, anyone in San Francisco can call for a ride from one of Waymo's robo-taxis. Yep, that's right. You no longer have to be approved from their wait list. And our Kevin Coe, well, he summoned a Waymo for the very first time to show us what it is like.
Wow, that's something.
This is Paul Fuentes' first time seeing a Waymo robo-taxi up close.
It's a nice-looking vehicle. It even has room for luggage and whatnot.
But this is as close as Paul plans to get.
You wouldn't get in this thing?
No.
Similar to Uber and Lyft, anyone can call a Waymo through the Waymo One app. Unlock the doors through your phone, hop inside, and start your ride.
I can see why Paul was a little hesitant because, that is kind of weird for the first time, at least. But I do gotta say, so far, mostly smooth.
Riding in a Waymo can include some sudden braking. And during one pickup in the Mission District, my Waymo didn't park at the curb, but instead stopped in the middle of the single-lane street, blocking traffic. This driver had to go into the opposite lane, avoiding incoming traffic, before the Waymo car eventually got the idea and pulled over to the curb.
We're going to have real congestion problems, and at times we're going to have more serious problems. We've already seen accidents and collisions.
State Senator Dave Cortese sees the potential in the technology, but thinks it needs more regulations.
It's a little bit of a wild, wild west situation. I don't think the individual passengers need to be fearful for their lives or anything like that. You're probably experiencing a comfortable drive yourself right now. We're not fear-mongering here. All we're really saying is there's some practical things that need to be in place, and they should be in place.
He's pushing for a bill to put regulatory power for automated vehicles in the hands of local governments. Cortese pulled his bill after he says it was dwindled down by amendments, but he plans to reintroduce it in January. Until then, Waymo is up and running across San Francisco, but Paul is holding out.
If it's been tested for a few more years and I was more or less incapacitated and unable to drive, then I might.
San Francisco is now the second city in the country where anyone can ride in a Waymo taxi, joining Phoenix, where Waymo has been open for rides since 2020.